you dare enter my realm? You are not prepared.
Coming to you live from Quel'Thalas.
It's All Things Azeroth.
And I am your host, Medros.
And I am the co-host, Lelia.
And this is episode one of All Things Azeroth. Thank you for tuning into our feed, and I'm glad to see that you've joined us for at least our first episode of the show, and hopefully for many, many more. Today, we are going to have a rather unusual show compared to what we normally will do. We will be doing a short intro. We'll have a hour-long conversation that we had the other day, and we will also have a quick mod of the week. So, as a quick intro to the show, let me just say that this show is going to be an interesting show. It can be found at allthingsazeroth.com, and I think we can bring a fair bit of interesting stuff to the show between us and the members of the Shadowwalkers. What do you think, Lelia?
I definitely think that we can make an interesting show of this, especially because the Shadowwalkers, they're such a varying group of people. There are people who like to do all the different kinds of things that are available in the game.
Indeed, we have hardcore PvPers, we have hardcore raiders, we have hardcore RPers, in your own case.
I'm not that hardcore.
You're more hardcore than most.
Very true, I'll give you that.
Just to explain the opening bit of the show, today the Shadowwalkers found a little bit of Quel'Thalas that was not instants away, and we had an event there. So why don't you tell us what the event was like, Lelia?
It was the wedding for two of our members, Fallon and Celexis. They are actually together in real life and intended to get married sometime soon, and they wanted to have the Shadows there for a in-game wedding. And it was pretty fun. The part of Quel'Thalas that you can get to, it seems to be a legal place to get to, if you will, because it only requires some swimming around the upper edge of Western Plaguelands or Eastern Plaguelands, whichever it was. It doesn't require any wall walking or bad things like that. So there was a lot of fun to be had by all. There was some role-playing and some dueling and lots of drinking. It was a good event all the way around.
Indeed. And it was rather concerning because at first, when I originally arrived there, within about a minute or so, the entire server crashed. And I at first was kind of concerned, seeing as that every person in the party disappeared. And I was already concerned that perhaps we should be having a RP event in Quel'Thalas, and I was concerned a fair bit that perhaps it was misjudged that Blizzard would have no problem with it, but it was, in the end, just a server issue, and we fixed it, or, well, they fixed it, I suppose, and we were back on, and the event was just a little bit late in happening, and was still a pretty good wedding, though Ven did seem to have a lot of work done in macros.
Well, I can't say that I blame him. That was quite a mouthful to have to type out all at once. People tend to get rather impatient when you're waiting for long, extended speeches.
Was he the one who wrote the vows, or was it they who wrote the vows?
He wrote them.
Awesome. So, let's get on, now that we've had our RP event out of the way, and we will talk after the conversation a little bit about the Shadowwalkers formal we had the other day. But for now, let's just get on to the mod of the week. The mod of the week this week is Auctioneer, one of the most popular, one of the longest running mods in the game. I believe there's only a few that I've heard that have been running longer consecutively and fully supported. Cosmos is one of them. Tell us about Auctioneer.
I'm notoriously terrible with the technical aspects of things, but I personally like Auctioneer because it can give you kind of an idea of what something will sell for no matter where you are. And it scans the auction house and takes averages and the lowest price and tells you what price for you to put your item up for you to make the best profit off of it and the price that it would most likely sell at, rather than putting something random up and having to try five times before it actually sells.
Okay. And Auctioneer can be found at auctioneeraddon.com. For those who are interested, just go to the download link. You will have to go into the developer section, since at the current time, the only available version that works properly with the current client is the current beta version, though I've been using it for a fair while and it does work quite well. That again is auctioneeraddon.com, and that is your mod of the week. Now we're going to move on to the primary segment of our show this week, which is a portion of, about one third of the conversation we had the other day on the Shadowwalkers Ventrilo server, which explains why some of the audio isn't quite where I'd like it to be. But the conversation was a good one. It was had between myself, one of our members, Bloon, Vendraga, and Lilia here as well. The conversation went from experiences in beta to where the game is now, and also to where we're going to be going in the future. The conversation that you're going to be hearing today will be, as I said, a portion of that. The rest will be coming up in a supplementary show in the next few days, Burning Crusade dependent. So, without further ado, let's get on with that conversation, and we will see you after.
Enjoy!
And welcome back. This is the group discussion with members of the Shadowwalkers, and going to do a round table and discuss a few things about World of Warcraft past, present, and future. Also going to just do a quick run around the group here and see who we've got. We will start with, of course, my co-host, Lilia.
Hi, this is Lilia. I have a level 60 rogue, and I've been playing ever since one of the closed betas. I played in closed beta and an open beta as well, and I've been playing ever since launch.
Next, we have Vendraga.
Hi, this is Vendraga, and I'm sitting next to Lilia. I've got a level 60 rogue, yeah, right. Level 60 druid on Argenton, and I've been playing since closed beta, the original closed beta, and all through open beta and the stress tests, and I've been playing since launch as well, and have gotten my feet wet in the Burning Crusade beta.
Thank you. And next we have Bloon.
Hello, this is Bloon. My main is a level 60 druid. I also have a couple high level alts, warriors, and whatnot, but I mainly play my druid because they will. I've been playing for about 2 years now. I also play the Burning Crusade beta. That's about it.
Thank you very much. And we have a few people who are listening in. Feel free to any time to pipe up if you have anything you want to say, anything you think we've gotten wrong, or that you just want to tell us that we're full of crap. Moving right along, I am, of course, Medros. I have a level 60 druid who has recently been respec'd from feral to balance, since his gear was primarily balance, and hell, why not? Always wanted to be full of feathers. And I have a level 60 holy paladin, as well as a 49 night elf hunter. So I began playing in September of 2004. I know that several of you have played in the beta. What did you think of the beta and how the game progressed as you played it in the beta?
This is Ben. I'll start, I guess. I don't see anybody else jumping forward. You know, betas are always tricky to gauge versus a real game, a real live game. I had a lot of hopes for my particular class during the beta. That's why I'm playing a druid now. And after beta 8, I watched the druid class get nerfed. And nerfed bad. Those of you who were around for it can attest to it. You know, I wish Nemesis was here, because she and I bemoan that patch often. Druids lost pole arms. They lost the ability to use wands. They lost the ability to self-res that was given to the shaman. They also changed our stat for mana to intellect, when prior to that it was spirit, and spirit is still our main stat. So there were a lot of hard changes that were given to the druids then, and it forced a lot of us to rethink how we play our class. I ended up sticking with the druid class and watching it progress from that point on. Watched a lot of other classes, you know, get beefed up and get nerfed in the process, and I'm glad to see that they're finally working out the balance issues. I mean, I always had hope that they would, and by balance I mean class balancing, not the balance tree for druids. But I'm glad that they're working out the class balancing issues so that one class or spec is just as viable as another.
Anyone else?
This is Lelia. Unfortunately, I've never really been into the technical end of things, and while I could, at the time, you know, pick up on bugs and things like that that needed to be improved, I can't really give you a rundown, unfortunately, on how the Rogue class has changed since the original closed beta before release to now, because that's just not my forte.
That's fine. For those who were in beta, what was your favorite event before WoW launched? Either be a quest, an instance, whatever. What was your favorite thing to do in the beta, or what was your most memorable thing from the beta?
I have two, actually. One was Old Ironforge. I loved Old Ironforge, and I wish they had kept it as part of the game. And kind of hand-in-hand with that is I liked a lot of the quest lines. There, between beta and actual launch, there were a lot of changes that were made to the quest lines and the way the quests read and how the quests were given. I mean, you still had to go to the exclamation point and all of that, but before launch, the quests made you think. I mean, you really had to figure things out. I mean, they were almost like puzzles themselves. It wasn't very intuitive where, you know, you got this little paragraph down there at the bottom that says, go to X place and receive Y thing from NPC and then bring it back to me. I mean, it was stuff that made you think where, okay, I remember seeing this guy, and, you know, I know he roams, and I know he's out in this vague area. I mean, it wasn't anything specific. And Ironforge itself was massive. I mean, it was beautiful. My opinion is they dumbed it down. I mean, they had quite a few people gripe and complain about how hard it was to find their way around Ironforge and how hard the quests were, and, you know, they dumbed it all down. And my fear is they're going to do that to the Exodar. But you're not even into that yet. my other favorite thing about beta was the demon invasion. I mean, the demon invasion just kicked butt, and that they haven't done it since is kind of sad. I think the world would have a great time with something like that. Imagine things the size of, oh, I don't know, Kazakh raining havoc through Stormwind and Ironforge, and I mean, I'm not talking like one or two demons, I'm talking like 10, 15 of them. Just destroying an area. I mean, it was beautiful.
I was just going to comment on the dumbing down of things. You know, definitely it is kind of simple point and click. You know, you go here, you go there, run back and forth, A, B. But I think the reason why they've done that is because Blizzard, you know, is a business. And if people get frustrated because they can't figure something as simple as reading something and then going here and doing it, then, you know, they're just going to give up and lose money that way. So I think, you know, in one way, people that play the game hardcore like we do, you know, it sucks for us, but, you know, it's good for Blizzard because the pockets get fatter that way. So, you know, it is a business, you know. If you look at it that way, then you can kind of understand it. But, you know, if you look at it from, you know, an enjoyment, you know, standpoint, I would definitely like to have a little bit something, you know, some puzzle there, you know, some sort of, like, I don't know, some hidden content within the quests that, you know, you actually do have to think. Or
true, and I agree with you. Although I kind of wonder sometimes if they didn't go too far with the dumbing it down, you know, if they didn't just take it to the point of, you know, it's just too easy. But, you know, then I sit there and listen to my 15-year-old gripe about how he can't do the quests, and, you know, I'm sort of satisfied, I guess. Find some solace in that.
That was actually going to be my next point, is that, you know, especially on Argent Dawn, there are a lot of younger people. And so something like, you know, really difficult kind of quest, or something that you would have to, you know, rely on, you know, past knowledge or maybe common sense that would be beyond your years, would, you know, just kind of single out certain peoples, and that, you know, isn't very good.
So my question is then, on the topic of dumbing down quests, with the advent of Thoughtbot, Alakazam, Curse Gaming's item database, quest databases, and so on, Does it really matter how dumbed down the quest is? Can you not just make it difficult since most players go there anyway?
That's an awesome point, because when you go in Ironforge and you're just hanging around and somebody's in, you know, the general chat, hey, where do I find this, or who do I go to see this? You know, what is the common response? www.thoughtbot.com. You know, no one says, oh, it's right here or it's right there. You know, they just tell you blah, 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 because they don't want to deal with you. And, you know, if something like that, you know, a website that has all the answers, I think that, you know, they should make it incredibly difficult, you know, in-game.
You know, I like that response, I mean, but it kind of feeds into, conversely, the, you know, I'm glad that they give that information out there, so that if these people really want to do the quest and they, you know, they don't want to do the, you know, kill every single mob that they see grind, it forces them to do the research for themselves. It forces them to learn what it takes to play the game. You know, ThoughtBot and, you know, WoWWiki and a few of the other ones out there are great tools, but, I mean, that's what they are. They're tools. That the quest line itself says, you know, and what you hear in general, too, besides, you know, ThoughtBot.com, is you hear, you know, OMG, read the quest. You know, every one of these quests, if you look at them, down on the bottom, the last paragraph says, you know, go see this person in this area and get this thing. I mean, it can't get much simpler than that. No. And it's just a matter of whether they want to read or not.
And you're right, totally. But, you know, tools, you know, they are simple, but, you know, even monkeys can use tools, but if people don't want to take the time to do them, then, you know, what are they going to do? They're going to complain. And then all those complaints, things are just going to get changed to, you know, benefit them.
Oh, exactly. And then people, those complaints end up getting listened to, and it's the old adage, the squeaky wheel and all of that. I just sometimes wonder if it's just been dumbed down too much.
Well, you go to ThoughtBot and, you know, you're looking for the thing. Some people will say, oh, it's right here, but you kind of have to look around for it. And then other people will have coordinates. So you don't even need to, you could just go in the general vicinity and just wander around aimlessly. And then, oh, it's right here because I have my coordinates, you know, add-on load up, you know, and I can find it, you know, no problem. I mean, that's, you don't even need to read the quest anymore. You just go to ThoughtBot, and that takes away
exactly.
The whole role-playing aspect of it, because this is an MMORPG, right? I mean, it's a role-playing game. Where's the fun and all that?
Yeah, and that's an argument that we've had for for quite a while, isn't it, Majors?
A few times. I may have a recording or two of such a conversation. My question then would be, what about Easter egg quests? Like Lincoln, like the Westfall Chicken, even. Those are things that people don't know about, that they don't have an exclamation point over their heads. That is the kind of quest that, personally, I love finding, because that's stuff people don't know about, usually.
You know, it's very funny that you mentioned that, the Westfall Chicken quest. My aunt and I, we were driving across country, traveling the Route 66, right? And, we stopped in a hotel. And I had never seen G4 Network before, and I don't mean to plug them, you can erase that out later, but I turned on the TV, and it was there, and I was watching it, and they were, you know, talking about video games. I thought it was amazing, and then they started highlighting this one video game online called World of Warcraft, and my ears just perked up, and I started listening to it, and then they said, you know, here's some quests that a lot of people don't know about. You know, if you go to Westfall and you cluck at a chicken a whole bunch of times, oh, and here's the easy way to do it. You just make a macro. They told you everything. How to make the macro, where to get the feed, what chickens to go to that, you know, maybe might be a little bit easier to get than others. And they walked you right through it. And I thought that was really cool. But, you know, if I had played the game, I thought, you know, I would have thought that, you know, before, if I had played the game, I would have said, you know, that's not fair, you know, because I sat there forever doing that, you know, and I finally got the chicken, and now some, you know, a-hole who watched it can just come on and get the chicken, you know, right off the bat. That, would make me upset, but, you know, it's just another one of those things how, you know, media dumbs down things for people.
My hope, I guess, for this game is resting in the Tower of Medivh, because from everything that I've heard or read or seen that they are trying to do with the tower, the quests for it are going to be a little more difficult. There's going to be puzzles involved, and you have to solve the puzzle before you can leave a certain area. So, you know, it's not going to be straight up, you know, point and click, kill a mob kind of dungeon crawl that's pretty much renowned through MMORPGs or MMOs in general. So I've got some hope still, but you know that remains to be seen yet.
So basically, they're turning Karazhan into a Zelda-fied instance. I don't want to put it so bland, but that sounds like what it is to me. Just a bunch of puzzles, and what's to say that's not going to be easily thought-botted itself?
Oh, it probably will be, but then again, there is the difference between those that scream in general, how do I do this, and ignore the, you know, go to ThoughtBot, and those that are going to put the effort into doing the research. I mean, you know, we all do research. We all do research before we go into dungeons or high-level raids or whatever it is we're going to do. I know that before we take on a boss, a high-level boss, we do the research on the tactics of doing that boss and see what the guilds before have done, or you know the raid groups before have done, and see what the best way is to take out that boss. I mean, there's certainly a thrill to doing it your way the first time, but there's nothing saying that when you read that strategy that you have to do it that way. The point is, you put in the effort to do the research yourself. You put in the effort to go and find out that information. I've got a lot more respect for those that go to do the research to discover that information than those that sit in general and scream, okay, you know, where do I find, you know, this piece for this quest, and ignore the either read the quest or do the research yourself, buddy.
I can definitely understand your perspective there. I did want to mention that I did in as well really enjoy the demon invasion of the cities at the end of the beta. I absolutely love that event, and I really wish they could do it again. And today they're doing a little bit somewhat close to that, some really good stuff, but they're not, the NPCs aren't as controlled by a real person. They're just mindless NPCs. Kill, slash, burn, blah, blah, blah. I really enjoyed the getting turned into a chicken by a GM. I really enjoyed a lot of that stuff. It was a great deal of fun. And it was very hard for me, having played WoW in beta and falling in love with the game, only to find that on November 24th or so of 2004, my love for the game seemed to be a little bit more diminished than it was. I'm sure anybody who was playing back then knows what I'm referring to. Those who don't, these servers went to utter crap. Any thoughts on that stability and the fact that Blizzard had the opportunity in beta, in my opinion, to thoroughly test their servers, and they threw that opportunity away because they were either too cheap, too lazy, or whatever? Any thoughts?
Yeah, actually, I don't think it was a measure of too cheap or too lazy or what have you. I do believe they missed the boat. I do agree with you there. I believe that, because whenever you create a piece of software or even a piece of hardware, you need to look at it as if you're looking at a beast with three arms. Okay, you're looking at the financial side, you're looking at the creative side, the programmers, the developers, what have you, and then you're looking at the corporate side. And the corporate side and the financial side usually go hand in hand. And somewhere in that mix, someone came up with a number. Don't even want to guess how they came up with it, because obviously they were smoking something or weren't in the same reality the rest of us are in. Came up with a number and said, this is how many people we expect to see on launch day. This is how many people we expect to see over the next year as a subscriber base or logged on for X period of time. So then they go back to the developers and the programmers and the coders and the hardware people and say, you need to design a system that's going to be able to handle this. So they do. I believe what happened was they didn't expect the turnout like it did. The huge amount of logins at launch day, the increase in popularity of the game, I mean, what, we're over 7 million players now? I mean, I really don't think that they expected it. Since then, I've seen vast improvements hardware side, and almost anybody will agree that from launch day, and launch day, in my opinion, compared to some other MMOs I played in, was damn near perfect. But from launch day to now, you've experienced less lag in game. There haven't been quite so many loot lag issues. I mean, I think Matrix, you popped up and said the other day, "Hey, I've experienced loot lag. This is the first time in a long time I've experienced that."
It hasn't happened in so long. It was very surprising to see it.
And what I believe is they've been updating their current hardware, but you know, it's the once burn twice shy kind of thing where I'm sitting back wondering. Because they've been sending out these emails to people saying, hey, you know, you've been away from World of Warcraft, come back for the Burning Crusade pitch. I'm wondering if the current hardware infrastructure is going to handle an upsurge of return clientele. I'm wondering if we're not going to be back after the 16th, back in the same mess we were in November.
There's actually a forum thread that I wanted to bring up. That pretty much says the same thing. It's written by a person from the Proudmoore server. It says, "Dear Blizzard, I'm ready you from the future. My server is simply unplayable. 1,000 plus player queues, server downtime for unknown stretches lasting more than 6 hours at a time, horrendous lag. I have made a time machine and sent this post in the past for you to fix your servers to anticipate the problem. Please do not fail us." Is it wrong for us to think that this could be a bigger problem than Blizzard makes it out to be?
No, and I don't think it is, but I think we need to look at it again as look at that three-armed monster and go, is corporate and financial paying attention to what is actually going on, or are they too busy counting the dollars? Because they're the ones who have to put forth the figure. Because in the end, the money drives everything. Whether it's driving innovation, or it's driving what they do within game, or it's driving the server infrastructure. Those are the folks who have to say, okay, we're going to give you this much money to do X project. And if they're not giving the money over, I mean, these developers and admin and designers can't, you know, just randomly do it on their own. So I don't think it's too much of an issue, but you know, when you said Proudmoore server, I mean, I don't want to flame the person that wrote that, but it makes me want to sit back and laugh and go, yeah, Proudmoore server? Come play in Argent Dawn for a while.
It's definitely going to be interesting seeing how the game will go. I hope they've learned, and I do see that they're taking steps for this, but I'm not sure what to expect. I mean, as I said, I saw that they had a perfect chance of opening their open beta to anyone. They underestimated, and that's a rarity for a company, to underestimate their popularity. How many MMOs underestimate their popularity in the entire gaming world? Most of them expect more than they actually get. Ask Sony. They can tell you very well, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, Sony underestimated too when they launched EQ2. I mean, they were plagued with some of the same issues that Blizzard was plagued with. Unfortunately for Sony, it hasn't been an issue because their player base has been coming to WoW. But, you know, I think they were trying to be conservative. I really do. I think they were trying to save as much money in the initial onset as they did in case the game went the way of other MMOs like Horizon. You know, if it happened to do that, then, you know, they wouldn't have lost so much money. I think they've been struggling to play catch-up since then. And for the record, they did invite anybody and everybody who could possibly sign up for open beta. They had the sign-up up on FilePlanet. And within 2 hours, I believe, or 2.5 hours, every slot that could possibly be filled on File Planet for downloads had been filled, and the need and desire for a open beta slot was crashing File Planet. So, I mean, that should have told Blizzard something. Why it didn't, I don't know. I mean, we can play armchair corporate advisor all day long, but I don't think it's really going to change what happened. Will it point out flaws in the future? I hope so. But then again, you know, they really haven't been on the ball with the server loads as they are. My hope that with talk of possibly doing server splits, that might help something. But, you know, it helped in the EQ days when Lily and I were playing EQ. It all depends on how Blizzard ends up handling it.
Who can remember when the server count, the number of servers in World of Warcraft, was less than 100?
Oh, yeah. I thought you were talking about people on the server. But, yeah, I can remember when they were under 100.
That lasted for, what, 2 or 3 days?
No, I think it was a little longer than that, but, I mean, it wasn't very long, though.
The good old days, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
See, I would disagree with that, because, I mean, the more the merrier. I mean, you know, get them off of my server, you know, if they're going to be like that, you know, or, you know, if they underestimated how much they were going to get, you know, so obviously they didn't have enough servers, and I guess maybe a lot of bad things were happening. You know, they couldn't control how many people were on, you know, X server. So they made new ones, and, you know, like what's happening or going to happen now with the server splits, people being pushed to other servers. I think that Blizzard, you know, doesn't know what they're doing. Well, I know they don't know what they're doing, but I think they're kind of scrambling to keep their head above water and to, you know, make everybody happy still, because people are going to get, you know, complain about the long queues and things of that nature, because everybody's going to be playing BC when it comes out. So I think that having so many servers isn't that bad of a thing, but I'm, you know, I don't know. I haven't played it since the beginning, so maybe I don't know what I'm talking about, but I think, you know, it's good that all these people have some place to go as opposed to, you know, lagging up one server or, you know, doing something like that.
Oh, I definitely agree. I remember when it would take hours, literally hours, just to get through the queue to get into Argentan. It was ridiculous. And that happened not just once or twice, but often. It was a regular occurrence to have to wait that long.
And, you know, and I don't think it was... I don't think it was so much they didn't know what they were doing, but Blizzard was so new to this, and, you know, people will jump up and say, well, they had some devs and admin and such from, and designers from EQ, so they should have known better. But I don't think they did. I don't think that they expected the popularity. I don't think they expected the player base that they've gotten. I think they've been struggling to play catch-up, like Bloom was saying. I think they've been struggling both software side and hardware side to play catch-up. But hopefully a lot of that will change come Burning Crusade, at least the software side. Personally, I think that one of the dumbest things that they did was, originally they had it separated out by area. So there were East Coast servers, there were Central servers, I believe there were some Mountain servers, and there were West Coast servers. And I think the dumbest thing that they could have done was get rid of that. Get rid of that designation. Because then people who lived... And, you know, I'm not ragging on any of my guildies who are from other parts of the country, but I think that, by and large, the majority of people who lived in a certain area could get a better server, a faster connection, what have you, closer to where they were by finding that designation.
I would have to agree that changing it from a time zone sorting to sorting by style of server or capacity of server as they have it now was definitely a mistake. They definitely should have kept it so that if I want to play on a central server, I don't have to go through 10 servers creating a character on each one in order to find one that is central time zone or eastern or Pacific or do they even have mountain time zone servers anymore? I don't know. Do they even announce the time zones of their servers anymore? Very rarely do I even notice that. It's just, it's a server.
go well.
Aw, but if they divided them that way, we all wouldn't all have met each other.
I still would have met you, because the person who brought me from the Manoroth server to here was an RPer that I met through the radio station that I used to be a part of, so I would have found Argent Dawn either way. But I do understand what you mean, though. Our times in Warcraft would definitely not have been as interesting if people had chosen by time zone.
I know it sounds silly, but I do get cranky when someone, you know, will, like, announce an event or something in guild chat, and people will pop up and be like, server time? Well, no, I put it in some other time so that everyone on the server would have no idea what time to think that it might have been. It's a pet peeve, I guess.
We all have pet peeves, dear. So, moving along from the first few months of the game, when the Blizzard servers went from numbering, I think, 84 at launch, or less, I think, actually, at launch, I think they had 50 at launch, maybe, to hundreds of servers they have now. I think they've got almost 300 servers at this point. Going from a million in the first month or two to almost 7 million at this point, what do you think has changed in overall content and the overall game? Not classes, not even really the high-end rating stuff, because we'll get to that later. What, in just the general world of Warcraft, has changed the most in your eyes?
Speaking personally, and I hope this changes, but the lack of regard for rules of certain server sets, RP being one of them. Being on an RP server, we have a rule set for naming and for people's conduct that is far different than any other server. It is far, far different than being on, like, a PvP server or a PvE server. And there seems to be and these aren't rules that we arbitrarily made up. These aren't rules that we, as an RP society, if you will, decided to, you know, sit down and draft one day. These are rules that Blizzard made themselves, and the lack of enforcement is just kind of disheartening.
So then you're saying, Ben, that you aren't in favor of Blizzard's current stance, which is that the community should police itself.
Why should we have to police rules that they created? I mean, if these were rules that we created as an RP culture, as an RP society, that would be one thing. But these are rules that they set down, and they said this is the way it's going to be, and these are the punishments for infractions against these rules. I mean, we have no way to punish the individuals. We have no way to do anything but report it, and when we report it, we are basically giving the attitude, sit in a corner, color, and shut up.
I mean, if they wanted to give me the ability to change character names that were inappropriate for use on this server, I would be more than happy to sit in Stormwind and change names and send them a report at the end of the week about each person that I changed and why I changed it. But somehow I don't think that's going to happen. So expecting the players to police themselves is a little difficult.
Okay, so Ven mentioned earlier that there has been apparently recent changes in Blizzard and in their GM department. What, if any, change do you think is going to happen in regards to server rule sets being more properly enforced? There was a time in early World of Warcraft when it was more common for a response to a ticket of somebody rooftop camping to be answered to in favor of a report of, say, a name or actions in an RP realm that were against the rules. Both are against the rules. There is no specified severity of an infraction. Where do you think that Blizzard will change now that their GM department appears to have changed?
I really don't think there is going to be one. When somebody leaves, you know, they tell you basically what your job description was. So, you know, you got the guys in there like, well, you know, this is what we're supposed to do, but I mean, really? I really don't do it. So, and they're not going to fire you, you know, so it's okay. You know, just let it slide. And people, you know, will sit there and be like, it's an effing name, you know, calm down, you know, forget about it. What point is it? You know, why are you making such a big deal of it? But, you know, it is a big deal because, you know, someone running around on an RP server named that really isn't, you know, that great of an RP name. Actually, I don't think it is an RP name. But, you know, setting that aside, you know, if you want to have that name, then go to, you know, go to Blackrock. How about that? You know, go over there. But I don't think they're going to do anything. GMs won't, you know, stop somebody from having a name like or Goal Aids or whatever, because it, you know, just go against the whole thing of, you know, you could do what you want. It's, you know, it's the World of Warcraft. You know, the world is there. You can explore it, do what you want to do. You know, that would just be kind of like them, you know, going against what they set in the beginning. But I totally agree with you guys. You know, people running around with, you know, Roll Aids as their name, you know, that's not RP. You know, if you want to have that name, go to a different server. That's fine. But things that are, like, totally inappropriate, like something that is just, you know, vulgar, now that should be dealt with. But, you know, like I said, somebody rolling around with the name Roll Aids, you know, come on. You know, first of all, they're probably 12. So, I mean, really, what can you say to them except for, you know, go to your room and finish your homework? That's about it.
Well, you know, but
GMs aren't going to do anything.
But the thing is I'm kind of waiting for the, I don't know, with the new changes that I've heard about in the GM community, I'm kind of waiting to see what happens. I'm not holding my breath, mind you, but I'm waiting. I mean, I've seen names anything from, you know, grilled cheese to hot dog, and, you know, they're not acceptable. They're on this server. They're not funny. People think that they're good RP names. Well, I liked grilled cheese as a kid, and that's my RP reason. Yeah, that's a RP reason. Grow up. But, you know, for me, it's a matter of respect. It's a matter of respecting different people's play styles. Now, if they were making some infraction against the game itself, such as would be punishable on a PvE server or a PvP server, you know the GMs would snap to and punish the person. But the blatant disrespect or disregard for the RP community has me just kind of arching a brow most of the time.
What other things have you noticed or enjoyed about World of Warcraft in the time that you've spent in World of Warcraft, be it 2 months, be it 2 years?
The people that I play with, totally. I mean, all the people that I've met while playing the game, it's just amazing. You know, and the people that I play with, a lot of them I've met in real life, and you know, like those relationships, I would not, you know, trade anything. You know, definitely playing with people, that's my main thing. You know, I could go and play some other game that I don't interact with other people and still have fun, but probably not as much fun as I would, you know, running around with people and goofing around, or, you know, really RPing and, like, having fun, like, storytelling or something like that. You know, you can do all that by yourself, but, you know, then you kind of look like an idiot, you know, with people rolling around with you. It's so much more fun. So I would definitely say the people that I play with is the greatest thing about this game.
Lilia, what's your thoughts on it?
Well, it's kind of a silly thing, but the thing that I've noticed that I miss the most that's changed over the last 2 years is that you used to be able to get a solid black riding cat. That used to be the elite mount, and now you have these stupid-looking beasts with pale colors and gigantic, ridiculous armor.
So isn't the Black War Panther a solid black cat?
Isn't that just a PvP mount?
Yeah, PvP mount you can get for 30 tokens from each, or 30 marks from each battleground.
Okay, well, I had no idea then. I don't know if it's solid or not.
No, it's not solid. It has stripes.
Oh, see? So there you go. It's still not even solid. The game taunts me every time I go to Darnassus, because there's that one guardian chick who rides around Darnassus walking all slow, and she has that original elite Black Panther riding mount, and I'm like, "Urgh."
There was also a pure white one as well that doesn't exist anymore, because there's always that pale shade of purple or pink in them now that has been since they changed it. Like, I think it was like second or third patch in the game, big patch in the game, but they changed the mounts.
Is it just me, and it may not be entirely possibly, could be though, or does it seem like the humans have a lot better choice in mounts than most other races in the game?
I do think they have more options.
Like, it just seems like humans have at least a half dozen normal mounts and at least another half dozen epic mounts. And it just, for some reason, it just doesn't make any sense to me as to why that has been. You would think they would have brought out more cats, more rams, more Mechanostriders, though I'm not sure how you can change a Mechanostriders look very much.
The humans, I don't think the regular kind of horse is a special mount anywhere, whereas, like, the undead horse is a special mount from the Baron, and the cat body style is a special mount from ZG. So that might also be a reason that there are more of the regular human horses that you can purchase, is because they're not anything fancy from anywhere else that's a drop.
I can see that point for sure. Moving along, what was your favorite place leveling from 1 to 50, let's say? Favorite place to go that you, if you had to grind, if you had to go somewhere, you would always go there every time you're creating a character. What is that one place for each of you? Let's start with Vendraga.
Favorite place to level, and some people are going to cringe at this, but in all honesty, it was Desolus. I mean, there were quests everywhere, lots of stuff to do. I loved the quest line that was on the coast with the Naga, and you had to go out to the islands and you know, click on the statue, and the big beastie came up, and you had to kill it. I mean, that was really cool. I liked that.
I have to say the exact opposite. I hated Desolus, and I wish at the time that I was leveling Lelia that I knew that I could have done all of those levels. I think, what is it, Stranglethorn Vale would have been the alternative place to do it, because I thought that I was going to die in Desolus, because it seemed that it just drug on forever and ever and ever, and the scenery was just the same everywhere, and it was all this bland rock and stone, and so many centaurs had to die to get to level 40. I think I actually hit level 40 killing a centaur, and it was just bleh. So I would have to say that I would pick Stranglethorn Vale, and I'm actually going to do two because I'm just bad that way. And my other favorite place is Feralis. I love Feralis. I guess I just like the green places.
Well, my two favorite places to level were Stranglethorn Vale and Duskwood. I liked Duskwood because of, you know, it's eerie, misty, you know, ominous-looking place. I liked the quests that were there, all the ghosts and everything. That was just really, really cool to me. And then dodging stitches, you know, every now and again, that was definitely fun.
For me, I will agree with Lelia and disagree with Vendraga. I always hated Desolus, primarily because when I was on Manoroth still, every time I went to Desolus, I would get ganked by Horde, and I know it's not right, but I will always and forever hate Desolus for that one reason alone, because Horde kept ganking me, and because I didn't like PvP servers. I didn't like PvP. I went there because the people at the radio station were there. Yeah, it was a mistake, but it would always be an interesting place to go. I will go back there often to farm big iron fishing poles, but I will not enjoy questing in Desolus at all in my life in World of Warcraft. My favorite place to quest was probably Teneris, because I liked the varied kinds of mobs. You had humans, you had big insects, and that was the first time I'd seen them. It connected you to Ungaro Crater, which is not so bad as long as you don't mind getting squished by the odd devil sore until you're 60. And I just really enjoyed the different things I could find there. As a miner, I found that mining in Teneris was great. It got me iron, it got me mithril, it got me small thorium veins, and there are even rare occasions where you'll find a rich thorium vein in the zone. And even now, with the release of the second last patch now, I find that it's even better because it's got the Caverns of Time, and it'll be 10 times better when Uldum opens up. There's just so much to do there. I really enjoyed questing and working through stuff in Teneris. That was just my most favorite place to quest, I think.
I will say, since we've all, most of us except for Ven, have spent a little bit of time Desolus bashing, that there was one thing that I liked a lot about Desolus, and that was the satyrs. As a rogue, I found that to be the first place that I really made proper use of pickpocketing, because that was when I discovered that they have the junk boxes, and a lot of them carried healing potions, and it just seemed that there hasn't been anywhere since, I don't know if a patch changed it or what, but it seemed to have the best loot from pickpocketing ever, and I had a lot of fun there.
Well, I enjoyed Desolus on my warrior because there were so many mobs to just grind on, sometimes, you know, I'd back up into a couple mobs, and, you know, I'd have to use my sweeping strikes, to burn them all down. But I liked it because, you know, for the same reasons Vin liked it, there were so many quests to do, and yes, you know, it took forever to get from one place to the other, but, there was so many opportunities. Like, if you didn't want to take this quest, you know, drop it and get another one. And, you know, you could just grind with quests and get a lot of money. And, I mean, you know, there was things that were just out of the way, yes, but for the most part, it was just good place to go and grind. That was it. And that's all I was doing with my warrior, just grinding.
The other thing, too, if you do a comparison between Stranglethorn Vale and Desolus, and I don't know if it was just me or if everyone would feel the same way, but it seemed to me that Desolus is actually a little bit easier for solo leveling. It seems like the mobs are so close together in Stranglethorn that you almost need a group to not be overwhelmed. And I don't know if that's because I'm a crappy player or if that's actually the case, but I think it was easier soloing in Desolus than it is to solo in Stranglethorn Vale. At least to solo against mobs that are a higher level than you are.
Oh, definitely. Actually, every online leveling guide that I've ever read has all said to go to Desolus and, you know, these quests to pick up and blah 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 blah, but they recommend Desolus because, you know, it's so easy to grind, and, you know, especially for if you're a miner, which I took up mining, you know, there's so many banes out there that you can get, and everything is just nice and, like, everything's spread out, so, you know, you're not like, oh my god, you know, blah blah blah. But sometimes there's certain spots where it's like, okay, well, I really do need to use my skills, whatever they happen to be, with whatever class that you happen to be playing. But for the most part, it's just, okay, how do I get, you know, from level 1 to 60 as fast as I can? And, oh, go to Desolus. But other than that, that's the only thing that I see that Desolus is really good for, except for Myrdon and, you know, Nature Resist gear.
See, I liked Manoroth Coven, and I liked the coast there, like I said, with the Naga and the quest lines over there, and I liked doing the stuff over there with the Satyrs and, you know, choosing sides in the Centaur War. I mean, I thought, at least for me, the storyline was very rich over there and very reminiscent of, you know, Warcraft, early Warcraft 3, Warcraft 2 days. I mean, that's just my opinion.
I can see that point of view.
The bane of my existence, however, was Stranglethorn Vale.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Stranglethorn Vale, I didn't really enjoy questing in Stranglethorn Vale until I got my hunter. As my hunter, I had a second person. I didn't have to group up with anyone. I just automatically had a party member. And that party member could tank something while I sat there sitting back and just firing arrows into it. And I feel to this day that my hunter really began being really fun to play solo without anybody else around when he hit Stranglethorn Vale. That's, of course, just my point of view. Grouping, though, yeah, Stranglethorn is definitely better grouping, without a doubt.
You know, Stranglethorn has far too many of those, you know, take this from point A to point B, and you gotta run clear across the damn zone, and then you gotta take the and I'm talking about the Iron Pot quest, or whatever pot it was quest, where then you gotta go out to the hinterlands, and then, you know, you end up going somewhere else, and then you come back to Stranglethorn, and then you take the stupid pot back up to the Rebel Camp. By that time, the guy in the Rebel Camp should have been able to buy a brand new pot of his own.
Indeed, indeed. So, we've gone from 1 to 50. At this point, there are a number of zones that you can go to from 51 to 59. There is EPL, Western Plaguelands, Silithus, Unguro Crater, Winterspring. Outside of instances again, what is your favorite zone to quest in that is not an instance from 51 to 59?
That made a lot more sense, because I was thinking, didn't he just ask that very same question? But no, so between 50 and 60, I see.
I've got two, really. Searing Gorge and Blasted Lands. I liked them both.
That surprised me. I thought you were going to say Winter Spring.
Nah, Winter Spring, that's my Stranglethorn Veil after 50. And it's just because of the stupid epic mount quest for Night Elves. The one that has you running all over, doing everything in the sun just to get faction to get the stupid mount.
That's such a cool-looking mount, man.
It is, but it's far too much effort to get it.
Yeah, the pain in the ass thing about that is that you can only carry so much of the items that he asks for at a time, and so you have to go, like, to one end of the zone, farm for the crap that he's asking for, and then ride all the way back and give him this piddling amount, and then do it all over again. And you spend more time running back and forth across the zone than you actually do killing the mobs that drop the stuff that you need.
Yeah, like in the first part, you gotta get the wyvern meat and the bear meat, and you could only hold stacks of five, and then you gotta take those stacks of five and run over there and turn them in, get the quest again, and run back out and do it again, when it would be just so much simpler to allow you to farm as much of that as you could possibly hold.
Okay, Lilia, so for you, what is your favorite 51 to 59 questing zone?
That's hard to say. I do like Winter Spring because it is very pretty, and I never did try to get that epic mount, so I don't have the issue with it that Ven does. But I think that as absolutely disgusting as they are, I actually like the Plague Lands a lot because that is where I tended to find the most ore, and I need a lot of thorium to top off engineering.
And Mr. Balloonkin up there.
Well, here's the thing. I tried doing questing, you know, from 51 to 59, but I got bored after level 53, and I did Searing Gorge, and I just mainly did instances, so I really don't have much in the way of, you know, input. But I think I would have liked questing in Winter Spring, because I just like the scenery there, and I think it just would have been cool, you know, from the whole Night Elf perspective.
Okay. My favorite depends on the character. Now, of course, my favorite place to quest in the early 50s for Medros was Western Plaguelands. The high 50s was Eastern Plaguelands. Far more I can use my Exorcism and my Holy Wrath on and just kill quickly than any other zone I could find. On the other hand, on Arita, I really haven't found a place that I enjoyed questing in that level range on Arita, and I think that's probably because my spec versus my gear didn't match. I've been using the wrong gear for the spec that I was doing, and now that I'm actually properly spec'd for the gear that I have, I think I will far more thoroughly enjoy playing World of Warcraft than I have in the past. So we'll see where I go from 60 to 70, but Arita didn't really have a favorite place. Just anywhere that he'd get lots of herb.
That is always a definite plus, where you can just go and work on whatever profession it is that you chosen.
Indeed. I think profession definitely controls a lot of what we do in the game. If you're a leather worker, you'll go where there's a lot of beasts. If you're a miner, you'll go where there's a lot of ore. Well, even if you're an engineer, you'll go where there's a lot of ore. Blacksmith, you'll go a lot more. Jewel crafters will go where there's a lot of ore. Herbalists will go where there's a lot of herb. A lot of what you do, if you are a profession-driven person, will be controlled by what drops and what you need from those drops. Now, one of our listeners today has invited me to touch a little upon quest rewards and whether they are appropriate for level, appropriate for difficulty, and so on. So, what does everybody think about some of the quests that we have? This is going far beyond the current gold for XP quest turn-in that we have. Ignore that part of the reward. Just focus on quest experience, quest rep, quest material rewards, and so on. What do you think of the quests as we have them at this point, and how can they be improved upon?
And I think I'm going to be the dissenting opinion here, but I think quest rewards and goal rewards, or whatever you want to call them, are okay. I mean, they're good for the level and the area and the quest intended. I mean, I don't expect to have every quest produce epics as a reward or vast amounts of gold. If it did, then that would seriously overbalance the game and make the game unfair. I mean, there are certain quests that are a pain in the rear end to do, and, you know, a good example of that one is in Winterspring, there is a Dark Iron Dwarf there that you have to have good enough faction with Dark Irons to talk to, and as a druid, he'll send you out on a quest to get the Leggings of Arcana, and in order to do that, you have to get the Abomination Stitching, and you have to get the Pristine Hide of the Beast, and you've got to get a few vials of the antifreeze out of one of the first bosses in Skolomance. I mean, so there's quite a few things that you have to gather in order to, and some Arcanite as well, but there's quite a few things that you have to gather in order to get an epic. So, I mean, the quest is definitely long enough and hard enough that the reward justifies it. So I think that they've done a fairly good job with quest rewards meeting the expectation of the quest.
I actually agree. I think that from all the quests that I've ever done, the rewards that I have gotten were fairly reasonable. Of course, bear in mind, I'm the girl who went back to the wetlands about 30 levels after I should have been long finished just to do the Fenkeeper line of quests so that I could get the Fenkeeper robe at the end of it. But overall, as far as the specs for things that are given and things like that, I think that the quest rewards are fairly appropriate. I do think, though, that quests where you're aiming for certain levels of reputation, a lot of those are a huge pain in the ass. I mean, the Argent Dawn one isn't bad because you can go everywhere and kill all kinds of undead things, and you run a few instances and you have a whole sack full of things to turn in, and I got exalted or whatever I am with them pretty quickly. But then trying to do any of the other ones, the smaller factions that you try to gain for whatever little rewards they might offer, it's nearly impossible unless you spend months farming the same thing over and over again, and it's just a little ridiculous.
And how about that Thorium Brotherhood turning in 4 Incendosaur skills at a time in order to do a neutral to friendly grind? That is just insane. But
I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm going to. It really isn't that bad with the Thorium Brotherhood, because I've done it. With the Thorium Brotherhood thing, though, the end reward justifies all of that grinding faction. The end reward, when you hit Honored or Exalted, the recipes that you get, the ability to do certain enchantments, things like that, the end justifies the means. And if you have a few people in your guild that are willing to help you, like, you know, in our guild, we started a thing where we would gather up the Dark Iron Residue, and we would just kind of pass it around until everybody got to the point that they wanted to get to. And the Incendosaur bit, you know, you've got hunters who generally pair up with Leatherworking as their bit in our guild that were more than happy to, you know, either go out there with me and farm it, or they went out there and farmed it themselves and just sent it to me, and then I passed it on to the next person, and you know, so on and so on. We did that as well, so.
And we are back from that conversation, at least the portion of it I've done so far. That is the point where we actually took a break from the conversation, just to give everybody a chance to regen their thought patterns and regain their collective thoughts. And the rest of it, again, as I said, will be coming up in a later show. As I mentioned before we got into the conversation, the Shadowwalkers also had another RP event this week. So I will again ask Liliette, who is the RP expert of the show, to tell us a little bit about the Shadowwalkers Formal.
Every season, usually at the beginning of the season or the middle of the season, whenever we can all get around to having a date available, we usually try to have a formal. So there will be a formal on the average of 4 times a year. I've been kind of slacking this year, and this was actually the first formal that we've had since summertime, I think. And it was a lot of fun to get everybody together. We had it out in Misty Pine Refuge just outside Ironforge. There was a nice little cabin there to get warm in if you got too cold outside, and outside there was a nice moonlit lake of ice for skating and or dancing, and again, plenty of alcohol and some deviant fish, and I think good times were had by all. It was actually, I believe, the largest turnout that we've had for a formal so far, so that was pretty fun.
I just want to clarify for our listeners here, every RP event that happens on Argentina does not actually have to include alcohol.
Oh, come now. It does happen often, though. Even if I don't provide the alcohol, somebody always brings some, and somebody winds up drunk.
Well, yes, but I just want to clarify that there is a possibility for a underage event that's not going to include alcohol. That's all I'm concerned about.
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, we don't pull out alcohol during Orphan Week or anything like that.
Excellent to hear. Maybe at the end of the week, once you got rid of your Orphan Week, maybe. I don't know. Anyways, thank you very much for tuning into our first episode of All Things Azeroth, formerly known as Know Your Role. You can check out the website at allthingsazeroth.com, and
you can send me an email at Lelia, L-E-L-I-A, at allthingsazeroth.com, and you can contact Medros at
Medros, M-E-D-R-O-S, at allthingsazeroth.com. And we will be doing another show sometime next week. Hopefully we'll do this on a weekly episode basis. And as always, go to iTunes to review the podcast, as well as subscribing to the podcast in the iTunes Podcast Music Store.
Okay, so I myself have an iPod, but I'm not overly familiar with subscribing to a podcast. Could you explain to me how that works so that if I'm not the only one, maybe our listeners can learn how to do that too?
Of course, you can always go to our website at allthingsazeroth.com, and there's a link there to subscribe in iTunes, or you can go to iTunes, click on the podcast link on the left-hand side, and you can search for us or any of the World of Warcraft podcasts that are available right from that search area.
Then if I hook up my iPod and turn on iTunes, if there is a show available, it would automatically download?
That is correct. It'll automatically sync to your iPod with all of the shows and all the podcasts that you've downloaded.
That would be awesome.
And I do recommend several of the other podcasts. There are several links off of our website to podcasts that I personally listen to, and I do recommend taking a listen to them and telling them what you think. And be sure to let them know that you found them through the All Things Azeroth website. Again, thank you very much for tuning into our first episode. Feel free to check out our website again at allthingsazeroth.com.
Okay, how many times do we actually need to mention allthingsazeroth.com before it becomes redundant?
That's about the last one, I think.
Sounds good.
Again, thank you for tuning in, and see you next week.
See you next week.